Hey, my name is Matt. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, alcoholism, and an addiction to gambling. Hey, guys, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are glorious. Thank you so much for all the love you are pouring out in the lives of those people gathered here. I pray that everyone who hears this story today would focus on you and you alone. Please help me to clearly communicate how amazing you are. And Lord, I can't thank you enough for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You deserve all the praise we can give you and more. It's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. My goal tonight is to give you a small glimpse of just how amazing, powerful, and loving God is by sharing with you how he changed my life. If I had talked with you before I became a Christian 3 years ago, my goal would have been to give you a small glimpse of just how amazing I was instead. Back then, my life was consumed with pride. And it's the root cause for most of the hurtful and harmful things that I do and have done in my life. The best way I know how to describe this pride in my own life is that I used to worship myself above God. I wanted to steal glory from God and give myself the credit for things he had actually accomplished. The most dangerous thing about my pride was for the first 3 decades of my life, the pride kept me from turning to God. I used to define success in my life by comparison to other people around me. See, pride and this comparison game kind of go hand in hand. If I did better than those around me, I would feel great about myself and feel very successful. And if I did worse, I'd feel horrible and like a failure. It started with comparing myself to my sisters, then my peers in school, and then my peers in the workplace. I was obsessed with achieving more than others in academics, athletics, the workplace, and even socially. I not only strove to get the best grades, do well in sports, and get the best job, but I strove to do all this while being socially accepted by being the best drinker, the best gambler, and being the best at picking up women. Everything in my life was a competition. In spite of this overwhelming pride controlling my life, I also knew it wasn't good to be viewed as arrogant or as overly competitive. So I learned I could be more successful at getting people to like me if I came across as humble and generous. I was a master at projecting whatever image was necessary at any given moment to make myself look as good as possible. This obsession with achievement drove me to work incredibly hard. The harder I would work to achieve something, the deeper my pride in that achievement would be. I felt that my hard work entitled me to kick back and enjoy all the things the world had to offer. A few years after college, my comparison-based success reached its peak. I had graduated college near the top of my engineering class and as a decorated athlete. I secured a high-paying job with a great company in Houston and soon became a top performer in the workplace. All my friends and colleagues were somewhat surprised I could maintain such a high level of performance in the workplace while spending most of my nights getting completely drunk at the bars, clubs, and casinos. I liked nothing more than seeing envy in the eyes of other men my age. Over time, the choices I was making led me to become destructively addicted to alcohol, gambling, and sex. I was raised Catholic, and all I knew about God was that many of the things I was doing were wrong in his eyes. My immorality began to get worse and worse as my heart hardened to my sins. I began to cross lines I thought I would never cross. And every time I would cross one of these lines, I would feel an extreme amount of guilt and shame and self-hatred, which I would then try to mask with more and more drinking. I would sometimes go weeks without being sober. I had cold, non-personal sex frequently. I was amassing gambling debt despite earning a very healthy salary. And this led to a pattern in personal relationships with women where I would find a nice girl, begin to get serious, and then inevitably hurt her and choose to leave her because I rightly recognized that she deserved better. I began to fail at my comparison game as my friends reached the age where they married off and began to buy houses with the money they had saved. Me, I was left with cheap, shallow relationships and gambling away most of my money in drunken stupors. Social success with my peers was no longer about finding a short-term girlfriend, something I was pretty good at, but it became about finding somebody you wanted to spend the rest of your life with and actually get her to agree, something I was apparently very bad at. For a time, I was able to surround myself with new, younger friends who still envied my lifestyle, but I couldn't deny the overwhelming lack of satisfaction my choices were bringing into my life. That's the sad truth about that prideful comparison game. It will never lead you to the satisfaction you're seeking. So there I found myself at the depths of a personal hell, convincing myself every day that I was really a good person deep down. The things I was doing weren't all that bad. Most people would tell you I was kind, hardworking, and fun-loving, but in reality, I was completely isolated. No one in my life knew who I really was, and honestly, I was absolutely terrified they would find out, because deep down, I hated myself more and more for every bad decision and everybody I hurt along the way. Eventually, my rock bottom came while I was visiting my parents in my hometown. They witnessed my complete drunkenness and immorality firsthand, and I was no longer able to hide the fact that I'd become completely selfish and disgusting. I became buried under a deep depression, and for the first time, my work performance suffered, and this all aspects of my life just started to unravel. In a last-ditch effort, I withdrew every last dollar I had, and I went to the casino in complete desperation. By God's grace, I lost it all. I came home, and that next morning, I waited until my girlfriend left for work. I took my grandfather's pistol, and I locked myself in the bedroom. I sat in the tub in the dark, and I closed the shower curtain, and I put the barrel in my mouth, and I cocked the hammer back. You know, and before I pulled the trigger, I decided for some reason to pray for the first time in a really long time. It was the first real unselfish prayer I'd said in many years, and it went something like, God, I'm so sorry for what I've become and what I'm about to do. Please take care of my family, friends, and girlfriend during the time after my death. Then I closed my eyes, and just before I squeezed off around, my apartment door opened, and my girlfriend came in yelling for me. See, I was supposed to be at work, so she didn't even know I was there, but she said she had a horrible feeling while she was at work and just had to come back for some reason to check to see if I was okay. After I was hospitalized for depression, and it was there that I realized I'd never been alone, and that God was always there with me, protecting me. I realized I had lost control of my life, and that despite turning my back on God and spitting in his face with all my bad choices, for some reason, he still rescued me. I'd like to say that after this clear intervention from God, I immediately gave myself to Christ and was a changed man. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Things were better for a while, but I still refused to give up my sinful desires, thinking I could personally manage and control them. I convinced myself getting drunk, gambling, and having sex were acceptable as long as I didn't let my drinking impact my work, kept my finances under control, and stopped cheating on my girlfriend. Trying to manage all of this on my own resulted in repeated failures and bouts of depression. But praise be to God, because he is patient. He continued to work out his perfect plan in my life by bringing me to the right places and the right people to teach me who he truly was. Eventually, I couldn't resist his call anymore. It took years, but he eventually broke my pride to the point of true repentance. This time, he graciously saved my life again, but this time it was for all of eternity. See, he gave me the faith to believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross to pay the death penalty that I deserved for my sins. And he rose from the dead 3 days later, proving that he was God and that I one day will rise and be with him. He also gave me the faith to confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and I began to try to live my life to give him all the glory that I used to try to keep for myself. God finally showed me it was not at all about my performance, but only about what he had done. I came to regeneration here because even after God graciously granted me eternal salvation, and I began to live in the light with a community of believers, I still struggled to stop choosing to occasionally drink and gamble. My first night here, I was exhausted. I was beginning to sink back into depression, and I was filled with doubt over whether I was truly a Christian. The fear I had from slipping back into the life I used to lead far outweighed the fear I had of walking through that door for the first time. At that time, I thought my problem was simply the fact that I was a slave to my addictions, and the thought of pride was truly at the core of my issues had never even crossed my mind. Little did I know it was my pride that made coming back after my first time so difficult. Despite the internal battle, I made the choice to keep coming back. One of the problems with living in the light with a community of believers is they make backing out of a commitment like Regen pretty tough. You know, I soon began to realize one of the benefits of being in open and closed groups here at Regen, which is that God's handiwork is on full display like no other place I've ever been. Looking around those circles at all the miracles God is performing blew me away each and every week. I was amazed at how it seemed like God put the leaders and other participants in my closed group there simply to say exactly what I needed to hear, when in reality, he was doing far more in everyone's lives than I could even fathom. As I worked the steps, I recognized that they're not some magic cure, but rather a set of unique tools that can bring us into a deeper relationship with the only one who can cure us, Jesus Christ. In fact, I came to realize God is the one using the tools, and all I'm trying to do is humble myself enough to let him do the work. Steps 1 to 3 were vitally important for me because they removed all of my doubts that I was a Christian. As I admitted I was powerless, believed that God could restore me, and trusted him with my life and will by accepting his grace through Jesus Christ. In steps 4 through 6, I inventoried my past sins and patterns, confessed them to God and others, and became ready to turn away and turn to God. God used these steps to help me understand my past like I had never understood it before. It was through the inventory step that I recognized the connection between early hurts in my life and how I later used them to justify hurting others. This was where I started to see how pride was deeply connected to all my addictions as well, and how I used my so-called hard work to justify feeling entitled to sin. The practical repentance plans I developed in step 6 were also vitally important to replace all my addictive behaviors with ones that bring glory to God. I turned my focus outward and Steps 7 through 9, as I humbly asked the Holy Spirit to change my heart and mind in order to follow Christ fully, I forgave those who had hurt me and I made direct amends to those I had hurt. The forgiveness step was one of the most enlightening for me as I learned what biblical forgiveness is and what it's not. I was able to forgive many of the past hurts against me and have since stopped using them as a justification to hurt others. Through the amends process, I've been able to see God heal many of the hurts I caused as he began to use me to work out his perfect plan in others' lives. Through steps 10 through 12, I was able to put in place the practices of continuing to implement all the steps, deepening my relationship with God each day, and bringing the ministry of reconciliation to others. These have been a key to helping me to continue the work I began in Regen after our small group wrapped up. God is so unbelievably good and gracious. Because of Christ, today I have a new life, and it's marked by joy and peace instead of pride, depression, exhaustion, and self-hate. The only comparison game I play is comparing my life to Jesus to recognize just how great he is so I can strive to honor him in every way possible. He's led me to live openly with the community of other Christian brothers who have helped me and encouraged me in countless ways and hold me accountable to being the man God wants me to be. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, the addictions I've been a slave to for over a decade no longer have control over me. God showed me he has an unfailing love for me, and a truly abundant life is found only by choosing a deep relationship with him over those things. I now use my time and money to learn more about him and serve others instead of throwing it away on alcohol and gambling. When temptations come, and they still do, or when I'm hurt and rejected, I now know ways to respond that honor God. He has provided me a way out, and I have peace knowing he is good and in control of my life. I've even been blessed with the opportunity to co-lead a group here in Regeneration where I continue to see more of God's miracles play out each week. As if all that wasn't enough, God has even blessed me with the one thing I probably deserve the least. the chance to lead and be supported and sharpened by an amazing and godly woman in a relationship that's pure and focused on bringing him glory. I now know that the truth about my past, which is not a story of my hard work and accomplishments, but a story of God's hard work, how for some reason he continued to protect me. Through all my rebellion, he blessed me by keeping me out of jail or from killing someone while I was drunk driving. He kept me out of destructive marriages. He kept me free of disease, and that's just to name a few. He even continued to allow me to have success in my career, restored my relationships with my family, and surrounded me with a lot of truly amazing friends along the way. I'm not finished. God is still changing me each day by revealing how pride is at the root of all my other sins. He continues to humble me and show me areas of my life where I'm still not being fully obedient to him and where pride is stealing away the true joy he promises. See, pride is a sneaky way of ambushing me and trying to get me to take credit for what God has accomplished. Sometimes even trying to take credit for how things have changed now. So to battle this pride each day, I remind myself of what Jesus said in Matthew 23:12. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I'm eternally grateful to God for bringing me to the point where my pride was humbled in this lifetime, so he wouldn't have to humble me on the day that I die. If I can encourage you with one thing, it's that God would not have brought you here today if he wasn't trying to heal and restore your life. My goal tonight was to give you a small glimpse of just how amazing, powerful, and loving God is by sharing with you how he's changed my life. Some of you may be able to relate to my story, some of you not at all. Some of you may even be in much worse shape than I ever was at my rock bottom. Wherever you are, my prayer for you is that you recognize what God is trying to do in your life and thank him for it by committing to following him completely. Look around you at the other people in this room and know beyond a doubt that each one of their lives is a miracle. God may not be out there speaking audibly and parting the Red Sea anymore, but even a blind person couldn't miss all the miracles he's performing in this room alone. Stick around here and see what I mean. My entire life, I didn't know God was all I needed until God was all that I had. Unfortunately, it took me getting in a bathtub with a gun in my mouth to realize how much he was doing for me. Psalm 94:17-19 says, "Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said, 'My foot is slipping,' your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. That night in the tub, what I deserved to taste was a bullet. But instead, God allowed me to taste his incredible love. That, friends, is grace. Thanks be to God."